All right, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I will read verses 1 through 6, and we will jump on in. So 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 says, "Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." Our Father, we come now, we praise you for another first day of the week. We're just so thankful that your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, took our place on the cross, and we're thankful for such great love. Pray that your Holy Spirit would fill me and teach us from your word today. I pray that each of us will grow in deeper dependence on you and how to actively trust you in the minutiae of our days and our lives. And we ask all this in Christ's name. Amen. And so the last 3 weeks we've been talking about discipleship. We have to learn to disciple ourselves, and so we can disciple, counsel others. And the number one discipleship area is practically actively trusting the Lord in our lives. And so often people, we have the head knowledge. We can pass a seminary exam or a Bible exam on the knowledge of Scripture. We can answer the questions. But when the rubber hits the road on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, life and its challenges hit you, how are you actively responding? Do you respond like one who walks with the Lord, trusting the Lord, resting in the Lord? And so today we're going to look at the battle for trusting God that begins in our mind. And so what are we saturating our mind with? What are we filling our mind with? How do we counsel our own mind? And so we ask the question, we'll see it from this passage here. There's a stronghold or a prison. And who is the prisoner? Are you a prisoner of your mind? Or do you hold your mind captive? Do you hold your mind as a prisoner? And so Paul, he instructs, as he's, we'll look at the context here in a moment, but Paul, well, it wasn't fun to be Paul. God was good to Paul, but it was never really fun to be Paul. And so Paul, he's defending his ministry. In 2 Corinthians, he really reveals day after day, week after week, is hardship, hardship, hardship. Paul didn't live an easy life as he served in a gospel ministry. And so here, he's defending himself continually in 2 Corinthians. And he gives these four verses, these nuggets of, you know how I don't give up? You know why I don't give up? It's because I am actively using spiritual weapons to hold my mind captive. He was in control of his mind. And so what happens when our minds hold us captive, our thoughts? We have the stronghold of pride and self-reliance. And so those who, their mind is enshrined and held up in the stronghold that I don't need any help. Everybody else is the problem. It's not me. That's usually the number one stronghold most of us have. You have the stronghold of fear and anxiety. The outcome of when fear is holding you captive, well, you live a paralyzed life. Life becomes very narrow. What about lust and pleasure? Is that the stronghold of your mind? The outcome of that is a hardened conscience towards spiritual things, towards righteousness. What about the stronghold of our mind in bitterness? The outcome of that is a life of fruitless remembering. I will never get over what happened to me. And so Paul is dealing with the stronghold of the mind here. And as we look at the context shortly, Paul had critics who were saying he was base, he was weak, he was a nothing, he wasn't desirable. And Paul in this passage would say, yes, I am all of those things. I'm seeking to reflect Christ who was like that. And that's why he was coming in the gentleness and meekness of Christ. And so Paul, as he's receiving all of these criticisms, he's going to display, my mind was strong in Christ, and I took these strongholds captive. And so the stronghold for Paul, as he lists out in 11, what he combated was a despair. He was constantly suffering. Is it really worth it to suffer this much in life? Is there always another battle, week after week, month after month, year after year? And so he lists that out in chapter 11. And so if he allowed the stronghold of despair to take him captive, what would Paul have done? He would have given up. And so the battle for trusting God and living a life that actually trusts him day after day, it starts with taking our thoughts and our minds captive and not the other way around. And so, you know, you have a few scenarios. Often when this is talked about, we talk about fear, and that is a common stronghold that takes us captive. So you have the faithful church member whose mind is held captive by fear. So something comes up, and what do we do? What do? I catastrophize. We go to the worst-case scenario. We ask, what if? And so we start living in that realm. But at the same time, you have the person who's not struggling with fear, but they struggle with pride. They're proud, they're harsh, they're self-righteous, and they can't see themselves, and they can't see others around them hurting. And so we have different strongholds, and what we want to do today is, one, understand that our mind is the battlefield, and we'll see what Paul has to say about it here in this passage. And then we want to understand, how can I identify these strongholds of my mind, these unbiblical thought patterns that lead me to trust myself instead of God? And then we'll look at some practical ways to take that captive. And so if we are going to be a church edifying one another, well, we need to get underneath the surface. Well, what are your thought patterns? What thoughts are occupying your mind, and ultimately, are they the mind of Christ? And so the Lord Jesus Christ is always our example. We are to have the mind of Christ, and we've looked at his earthly ministry. His earthly ministry was, with joy, I will suffer today because I trust my Father. I trust my Father to allow hardship into my life, to refine me, to show me the different sins, different aspects of my life that I need to grow and mature in. And so this is the outcome of discipleship. It is a leaning on, a full rest and trust in God. And so a part of that is he's constantly refining us. He's refining me. And so when we think about the battle, the strongholds of the mind, we think about, some call it a worldview, some call it your frame of mind. But what we want to see here is there's no neutral ground. And so you're either God-centered or you are problem-centered. There's no neutral ground in that. As the challenges of life come up, you're either saying, okay, what's the Lord doing here? I trust you. I don't have the answers yet. The path is still dark, but I trust the Lord. Amen. I'm in Christ. I can't be separated from his love. Or I am completely problem-centered. Now, as we've discussed in the last few weeks, there's a place to have logistics. We do have to plan. We are not saying to be complacent and helpless. But are we navigating the challenges of life in step with the Lord, following him each step of the way? And so are you God-centered or are you problem-centered? And then the next frame of mind is, what tools are you using? Are you using spiritual warfare or are you using self-reliance? Right. And so we look at Ephesians 6, we know the armor that we're to put on. And sometimes we look at that's a cute Sunday school lesson. But no, those are the tools and the instruments and the armor that actually last the war. That is our lifetime. And so from faith to faith throughout our whole life, getting on our knees and our heart, humbling ourselves before God and saying, I need your help. I need your grace. I need your mercy. And then we go to him in prayer. And we ask for our strength, our faith to be built up. And we seek to learn about him, to have a deeper trust in him. And so that's our spiritual warfare. Or, as we all struggle with, we run to self-reliance. I have to trust my strength. I have to trust my wisdom, which was shaped in the silo of my little world for my whole life. And we're going to do things the way that my little world has done it for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. Now, it's not to say that there's no wisdom or nuggets of truth in all of that. But we want to lean on the things that we've learned from the world that shaped us, how you respond. Somebody does you wrong, what do? You get even. You got a problem? Well, you pull your boots up and you figure it out. You cut everybody else out. And so there's a place for these things, but we need to be running to the Lord with our spiritual and spiritual warfare. And so as we look at the mind, God-centered, problem-centered, spiritual warfare versus tools of self-reliance, and what we want to start to understand in our own lives and as we help others is what fixed false beliefs are stuck in my mind. What deceptions and lies fill my mind that I rehearse as I look at my life and the problems of life. And ultimately, this is the renewal of the mind that needs to take place. We have to renew our mind that it's fixed on truth and have a mind saturated with truth. And so, how do you talk to yourself? How do you counsel yourself? Are you counseling yourself with truth, the promises of Scripture, or are you counseling yourself with the self-reliant wisdom of the world? And so when we think about suffering, well, the lie that we could believe is God's forgotten me, God's punishing me, God is too small for this problem. Or we can look at it from a truthful biblical perspective. God's good purposes are at work. And so we see the difference. But as we want to grow in a life that actually trusts God, we have to learn how to take our thoughts captive. We have to recognize this. What about fear? We can either believe the lie of fear that the worst case is most likely going to happen. Let's prepare for disaster. Or I'm not sovereign, God is. The worst could happen, but he knows what he's doing. He's a good God. Amen. He's a good God. What about failure? When we fail, when we sin, we can believe the lie that says, I am what I did. There's no recovering from this sin. Well, that's completely false. That's anti-gospel. We have to saturate our mind with the gospel that there is grace for the humble. God forgives, and it starts with repentance. And when there's repentance, you can actually have restoration, reconciliation, forgiveness. We can move on from sin. And so we see these things. So our outline for today, we'll look at the battlefield of mind. We're going to recognize some unbiblical thought patterns, and then we're going to look at how do we tackle those. And so we look at our passage here in 2 Corinthians 10, and just to provide a brief context here, Paul, he's defending his ministry from false apostles. And so all throughout the book, false apostles are discrediting Paul to the Corinthian church. So Paul leaves, he starts the church in Corinth, he leaves men to lead that church, and as he's away, you have false apostles come in and they say, don't listen to Paul. He's base. He's unimpressive. He's meek. He's kind of a coward. He's always suffering. Why do we want to follow somebody who's always suffering? And they thought that his suffering disqualified him. And then they said he had plain preaching. He was incompetent. Meanwhile, they thought real apostles, they looked and sounded impressive, they had social respect, and they didn't suffer. And so this is what Paul, he's defending his ministry. And here we see there in verse 1, he's saying, I'm coming to you in the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Do we remember Isaiah 53? Who did Jesus Christ line up? Did he line up with the false apostles? Or, well, he was base, he was meek, he was gentle, he was unimpressive to the world, and he was in submission to the Father. And so Paul's saying, I'm reflecting Jesus Christ. So if you have a problem with my ministry style, you have a problem with how Jesus Christ was. Read Isaiah 53, Isaiah 49, Isaiah 42. And so Paul, he's defending himself there, and he takes their criticism and he says, yes, I am those things because that is who Christ was. And so Paul, he had the mind of Christ. But what was the purpose of their criticism? It was to disqualify him, to railroad him. They wanted Paul to just give up. Give up, Paul. Stop coming back to Corinth. Stop going to these assemblies. And so Paul, he indicates there in verse 2, he says, I am gentle and meek to the flock, but I am bold, confident, and harsh to false apostles. And so he's explaining himself. And he gets to verse 3. He says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. And so Paul, he's now explaining himself. You know how I navigate the hardships of life? I'm not fighting and using fleshly weapons. I live in the flesh, I walk in the flesh, but I don't use the flesh as I fight the battles of my mind, as I have to trust God with each step. Verse 4 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And so you see the weapons, plural there. He's got a full arsenal of weapons he's talking about. What are the full arsenal of weapons that we have that are spiritual, that are mighty through God? Well, that's prayer. Prayer is not some cute thing. Prayer is showing dependence. God, I'm coming to you because I'm depending on you. I'm coming to you because I don't have the ability to fix my problem or to navigate this problem. I'm coming to you because you have all power. All throughout the Psalms, it's beautiful. The psalmist, often David, he cuts right to it. God, I'm coming to you because you made heaven and earth. I want that kind of power in my life. I need that kind of help. And so they go right to the ultimate source of power. I need help from the one who created heaven and earth. You have the Word of God, you have the spiritual armor, and you have the Holy Spirit. You have this full arsenal of weapons that we often neglect. They're often plan B, C, or D, not plan A. Now, we already talked about our carnal weapons. That would be self-reliance. That would be our using our human reason, our cleverness, our personality, our money, our power. And so Paul says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. This is dunamis power, dynamite power. And the source of this power is who? It's God. So these are simple things. We know these things, but this is what active trust is. I'm going to the one who actually has power. I don't have this type of power. I didn't create heaven and earth. And so Paul, that's where he's going. And so mighty through God, and this power has the ability to do what? The power of God has the ability to pull down the strongholds of our minds. The strongholds of our minds that say give up, that say, this problem's too big, that say, I need to run to the world for help instead of God. All the various different strongholds. When we use our spiritual weapons, we are humbling ourselves in obedience and in faith, saying, Lord, I'm depending on you, your Holy Spirit, your Word, and the weapons that you've given us, the armor that you've given us that actually will protect. Mm-hmm. And so, as we are trying to grow and how do we actively trust the Lord in our lives, we have to start taking the spiritual armor of Ephesians 6 seriously. Now, some do, some might not. Some might say, I used to wear it, but I haven't worn it in a while. Some might actively be wearing it. So I don't know where anybody is here, but it is a real spiritual fight. And so these the power of God, the weapons, the spiritual weapons are mighty through God to the pulling down. That's the violent destruction of a wall. The spiritual weapons of God are actually effective. And so again, David, taste and see. We all have to get in the practice of tasting and seeing. When was the last time you prayed on your spiritual armor? When you prayed for God to help pull down the strongholds of your mind. And so we're going to look at that today. Now, these strongholds, what is a stronghold? It's a fortified place. Think of a castle tower, an impregnable a prison. And so he's going to get to it here in verse 5, but these are the strongholds of our mind, of our thoughts, our belief systems that are so entrenched in how we were shaped. And so, as Christians, we have to always think about our old man baggage. You got saved at 20, you got 20 years of old man baggage where the world, the flesh, and the devil were shaping your mind on how to operate in life. We cannot take that for granted. You get saved, you have the power of God immediately to tear those down. But that requires actual skill in the Word of God and care running to the Lord to identify those thought patterns and then to actively tear them down. And so these weapons are mighty to the pulling down of these strongholds. And then verse 5, casting down imaginations and high things. Casting down, this is a present active participle. It's always engaged in tearing down bad thinking. And so we've looked at those. Always engaged in tearing down the different lies of my pride, my fear, my circumstance, all of these things that are consuming us and the lies thereof. And so we have to think about those practical lies as we face the problems of life. The subtle ones that say, you know what? Yeah, I don't know how the Word of God applies in this situation. I'm just going to close it and try and figure it out on myself. I don't think there's anybody here who can actually help me, so I'm not going to reach out and ask for help. These are some of the strongholds that we believe. I have to stay in a silo and figure it out myself. That's a lie that we believe. It's a stronghold. We are a body of Christ. There are people here, starting with your pastors, where you could say, hey, I need help with this. Maybe you can't, but you know somebody who can help me in the body. And so these are some of the ways that we can cast down imaginations. So imaginations, what are these? Calculated reasons. These are the conclusions we've arrived at through the experiences of life. Sometimes the imagination we have is, yeah, I believe God is real, but I don't believe God is effective because he's disappointed me. I've prayed and he hasn't given me the things that I wanted in life. I've arrived at that imagination. I've reasoned and come up with that calculation of how I think now. And now that thought is stuck in my head. That's an unbiblical thought. That thought goes against Scripture and all that it says. So casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And this is a powerful a phrase here. The high things that exalt itself against the knowledge of God. The high things, these are raised up thoughts against God. It's any rationale, philosophy, pragmatism, bias, shaping influence of how we think that says this thought process is superior to the Word of God. And so how much of the world that we allow to impact our thinking comes into our minds and slowly exalts itself against the Word of God and starts pushing the Word of God down. And so this is the battle of our mind. We're always going to face these high things, these elevated things that are thoughts that abase Scripture. And ultimately, they're thoughts that abase our view of God and our impetus to trust and obey God. And so high things that exalt, that's a present participle, that exalteth itself. High things are constantly exalting themselves against Scripture. And what we need to understand is the strongholds of the mind through the world, the flesh, and the devil, and the knowledge of God listed out in Scripture, they don't coexist. These two thought patterns don't coexist. The mind of Christ and the mind of the world, they don't coexist. And this is the problem most Christians have, because we do enjoy worldliness. We do seek to, because we're so influenced by it, it's part of our shaping. We have that struggle, but we try to carry both. We try to have the mind of Christ on some things, the mind of the world on other things. They don't coexist. And so one is always going to be exalting itself against the other. So casting down imaginations and all the high things that exalt itself against the knowledge of God. And so as we're looking at the mind, and the mind, in the battlefield of the mind, this is where we begin to grow in trusting the Lord. However, if we're not involved in casting down imaginations and casting down high things that exalt itself against the knowledge of God and His Word and who He is, well, we're going to be losing the battle on trusting God, because we're going to be so plugged in to the way the world thinks. And Sunday is just a religious thing that we do. As disciples of Christ who want to have effective victory in this world, this pilgrimage, as we're on our way to Zion to be with Christ someday, if we want to be effective, we have to learn to cast those thought patterns down so we can saturate our minds that God, He is a good God. We get to start looking at Scripture and seeing the beauty of Christ. Hey, that's a Savior. Nobody's ever loved me like that. Nobody's ever been more patient with a big sinner than that. Nobody's ever been more long-suffering than Jesus. And I am growing in deeper dependence and deeper love with Him. And so we see the last at the bottom of verse 5, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And so bringing into captivity, the Greek word here is very interesting. It's essentially holding somebody at spear point. So you're in a battle, and you're fighting, and you have the big long spear, and you best a man, and he loses his weapon, and you take him captive, and you hold him at spear point. You got a spear point right at his neck. I am now taking you into captivity. I own you. Your master is changed. You no longer have control over me. And so we go back to our original question. Who is the prisoner in the stronghold of your mind? Does your mind hold you captive to unbiblical thinking? Or are you actively holding those thoughts that exalt themselves against a good God that you can trust? Are you holding those thoughts captive, taking them prisoner? And so Paul, as he's defending his ministry, he says, you know, the only reason I don't give up is because I am engaged in spiritual warfare and taking down these thoughts, the thoughts that want to paralyze us in fear, that thoughts that want to isolate us in pride, the thoughts of despair that want us to give up. The only reason I'm still here is by the grace of God, because I use spiritual weapons to take the thoughts captive. And so we want to be engaged in holding these thoughts at spear point. Because we all know the outcome. When we think about our thought patterns, we say, yeah, when something scary happens, I do go to the worst case scenario. And it does put me into a tailspin. Or when I'm struggling, my pride is so strong, I won't ask anybody for help. I don't need anybody. That's a dangerous thought pattern. And so you have a variety of them. And so we look here, verse 6 says, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. And so trusting God is ultimately obeying Him instead of capitulating to the world and how it says we should act, think, and behave. And so as we move on, we look at the mind is our battlefield. And so one of the questions we want to ask here is, as we start to recognize our thought patterns, a simple question is this thought leading me to God or away from God? Is this thought leading me to the gospel of exposure, repentance, forgiveness, reconciliation? Or is it leading me to the world's way of handling relationships? And so we always need to be testing and discerning our own thoughts. Is it leading me to the Word of God? Is it leading me to a good God I can trust? Is it leading me to the gospel of reconciliation? Or is it leading me to the way I grew up? The way the world, the flesh, and the devil taught me how to think. Because that's there. And we're always surrounded by that. Next, we look at how do we recognize some of these unbiblical thought patterns. And so we have a few channels that it's important that we trace our thoughts. So occasionally my wife or a friend will call me out and be like, why are you saying that? Why are you talking like that? Where did that thought pattern come from? You know, and after I get over of being offended because I was rebuked, I try to trace it back. And it's important we get in that habit of tracing those thoughts back. Where did I learn to think that that sin was okay? That's important. We have to recognize that. And so part of it is, yeah, I was shaped that way in junior high when I was at a Christian school surrounded by a bunch of unsaved kids. We're not blaming, but we're starting to like, where did I learn these things? Where was I trained to think that that was okay form of thinking? Or a show I was watching on Netflix or YouTube or whatever it was, and I thought it was okay, and they were thinking and doing it there. And so we want to get in the habit of looking at these thought channels. If we look over at Romans 12, Romans 12, verse 2, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He's our maker, our creator. He's given us life, and he's given us his Son. He's given us eternal life, and in turn, we give him our lives as living sacrifices. And so many of us do that, but then we stop short of verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so we live, we're not of the world, but we live in the world. And the biggest thing that the world, the flesh, and the devil does is it seeks to create the narrative in our mind. Now we always talk about, we have technology. Technology is wonderful. We have all the streaming services, and there's good in some of those things. However, when those things get out of control, we allow the internet, we allow streaming services, we allow the world to have 24/7 access to my eyes, to my ears, but ultimately to my thought patterns. This is what you need in life. This is what you need in life. You're not good enough if you don't have this. This is what you should fear. This is what you should pursue. This is what your life should look like. And so in those avenues, those channels, the world has the ability to keep our mind, hold it captive in unbiblical thought patterns. Paul says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so when we have the mind of Christ that's actively being renewed, where we're actively holding bad thoughts captive, holding them at spear point, we can begin to understand the world from a biblical lens, a biblical mindset. We can be God-focused, God-centered, instead of problem-centered. And so as we recognize the unbiblical thought patterns, we have the worldly influence. We need to no longer be transformed by the world. But transported by Scripture. We're the thought channel of flesh, our flesh and our self-reliance. This is how we were shaped. All of us were shaped to, this is how I'm going to get comfort and control in life. I'm going to figure it out my way. Often we isolate and we go down that channel. And so we want to recognize that. And then we have spiritual warfare. If we look over at Philippians 4:8. So Paul gives this very practical test here. And it's one that I could and we all could do better to implement into our life. But Philippians 4:8. This is the filter for our thoughts. Paul says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. And so despite our shaping, so many different things have been normalized in our world. You just think about television, movies, whether it's violence, lust, pleasure, greed, the filth of the world, it's normalized as we allow our minds to be saturated in those things. And you say, well, somewhat innocent just watching these things. It's the long-term effect, and then real life happens. You know, we unplug from virtual reality, then we have to go deal with real life. I got real life problems now. Where is my mind at? How am I filtering this real life problem? Am I filtering it through the world that says you don't deserve to suffer versus the Bible that says you will suffer because it's a sin-cursed world, but God is good to use it for your spiritual good? Those are two different mind patterns there, thinking patterns. And so we want to get in the habit of recognizing where our thought patterns came from. That's an important step. Hey, my family, my lost friends, these media inputs, these are the things that really normalize this thinking for me. And so we need to get in the habit of saying, where did this come from? Now, what are some of these thought patterns? Well, you have the fear-driven thought pattern. That asks the question, well, what if God doesn't come through? What if God doesn't come through? What am I going to miss? You have self-pity. No one understands what I'm going through other than me. You have bitterness. We've talked about that. I will never get over such and such. I will never get over what this person did to me. That's anti-gospel. You have self-reliance. I have to figure it out. I can't ask for help. You have the legalist. God's view of me rises and falls with my performance. My worth is strictly tied to obedience. And so we have these unbiblical thought patterns. And then, so what is a process of self-counsel that we can do? Well, we want to get in the habit of identifying unbiblical thought patterns. And we ask the question, is this leading me to God? Is this leading me to trusting Him? Or is this leading me to the way I think I should figure it out? And so that's a good diagnostic question that we want to slowly incorporate into our lives. Then we need to examine that thought with Scripture. Philippians 4:8 is our passage. This is a good passage to memorize. And it's a good diagnostic. Is it true? Is it honest? Is it just? And so is it true that this problem is bigger than God? Is it true that this worst case scenario is unknown to God and He's going to be surprised by it? Well, no, it's not, actually. God is sovereign over all things. He is working all things for spiritual good. He's allowing tears to be sown so we can reap the joy of repentance and spiritual growth. And so we're taking these thoughts captive, we're examining them with Scripture, and then we got to get in the habit of rejecting them. Okay, this is an unbiblical thought. I am living in a fear-based thinking pattern right now. Lord, I need your help because this is how I've always thought. This is how I was shaped my whole entire life to think this way, but I'm recognizing it now that it draws me away from you. Help me to take it captive. show me that you're good, that I can trust you as I put on the mind of Christ. This is where, this is the pivot point. The rubber hits the road where I am going to now use spiritual weapons to take this thought captive, to cast it down. And so we look over at Psalm 42:5. We'll close there. As we reject and replace these thought patterns, we need to rest in God's promises for today. And Psalm 42, you see, David counsels himself. Psalm 42:5, he says this over and over, but he asks the question, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" David's taking the thoughts captive. He understands what's before him. I know there's a good God there, but my thoughts are holding me captive here. My soul is in despair. I want to give up. I'm looking at my problem like there's no solution. But David, he asks, he's questioning himself, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Why are you so rattled, David?" Ryan, why are you so rattled right now? You're thinking that this problem is greater than God. What does he say? "Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." God is so worthy to be trusted. He's so worthy for us to throw ourselves and our problems at him. He is a good God that we can trust. He might scramble our life and our circumstances, but we can trust that he's working it for our spiritual good. And so today we looked at the battlefield of our mind. We want to get in the pattern of recognizing and identifying those unbiblical thoughts. And then we want to have the process of self-counsel, bringing those before Scripture, rejecting the lies and replacing it with truth and counseling ourselves like David here. Father, we come now. We just thank you so much for your word. I just pray that you help us as we seek to grow in deeper dependence on you every single day. Help us just to run to you and rest and trust that you're a wonderful God and Christ is a wonderful Savior, and we're just so thankful for our position in him. Help us just to trust you completely with our lives despite how you where you might lead us. And we ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.